Good.
Hello, friends. It's Margaret Katz Can, and I'm here with my good friend and colleague, David Landuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret. It's the intrepid warrior David with the exhausted warrior Margaret. So,
I know. A little humbled by fatigue the last couple weeks. Yeah, for sure. For
what
sure.
we're
And
going to
since
talk about.
this is the Leadership Deep Dive show, we're going to take a deep dive today into the concept of being distracted and what that means and how it equals being exhausted sometimes.
Frequently.
Yes.
Yeah, probably more times than we would like to admit, you know.
Yeah. David, the idea for this topic came to me recently from somebody who was telling me about a little bit of neuroscience, which I'm always open to learning something new about how my brain works. And she was talking about the number of calories, maybe the calories is in quote, but that it costs your brain to switch from paying attention to one thing to paying attention to a different thing and a different thing. And the implication of this for me, was if I'm working and I have, 22 tabs open and I keep peeking at my email or I, keep looking at social media to distract me, that the cost of energy to my brain to switching back to the actual task that I was trying to work on is exhausting me. I'm burning up all of this energy trying to refocus on things.
Yeah, that science has been around for a while. It costs you time and it costs you energy. When, people think, well, there are very, very few people who can actually multitask. When we say multitask, when Margaret and I went through a leadership program, not at the same time, but with the same design, where, you had to stand in the middle of four people, one in front of you, one behind you, one on each side of you, and you had to pay attention to four different. Do you remember that exercise? Did you guys do that
Sure
one?
do. Sure do. Yeah.
Okay,
Remember
right.
that.
So you had
And in fact, when I
to.
remember it, my heart rate elevates just a
Oh,
little
I know.
bit. Yeah.
I know. I know. And you have to keep track of four conversations at once, basically. And they're four completely different conversations. People are just saying stuff at you and wanting you to respond. And there is a leadership type, we call it the beauty type, that can actually, at least we had one in our tribe who could actually do that.
Yeah, who could
Like
take in
literally track on
multiple.
four conversations simultaneously. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a gift. It's like it's a less than 1/10 of a 1% on the distribution curve, right?
Yeah.
Most of us can't do that.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and that's true. And I'm going to say about myself, like I've known for a really long time, like that I'm a terrible multitasker. Like I cannot be much to my partner Kevin's lament, I am incapable of writing a text and listening to him at the same time. So
Yes,
sometimes
most of
I'm like,
us.
oh, he's talking, and there's only two of us here. He must be talking to him. I understand that I'm a bad multitasker, but what was new for me in understanding is, if I'm looking at my email, well, that's only one task, David. So it wasn't about trying to do multiple things simultaneously. It was about actually multitasking in a broader sense of switching between activities,
Yeah,
in
I did. I
short.
that's the dis yes, I agree. I just was wanting
Yeah.
to make the distinguish the distinction. Multitasking is actually doing multiple tasks at once. So very few people can actually do that. Now let's get to the topic of today's conversations, which is switching between tasks. Now,
Switching
some
between.
people are more adept at switching quickly between tasks and then being able to come back. And others, and I think again, this is a distribution curve thing. So we're not saying everyone is wired the same way. We're not. Most people, large, the middle part of the distribution curve takes a lot of time and energy once you've switched off of one task to another to come back to the one you're working on costs you time and energy. And
Yeah.
that's some people can do it more quickly without as much time and energy. But many of us who are sensitive or who are highly focused people, like I am super, like I can be very focused. I pay a big price, which is why I shut out all stimulus when I'm like doing creative writing or having to do our shared expenses for our work together, Mark, and build
Right.
the
Well, that
spreadsheet.
requires all kinds of focus for sure. Yeah. Yeah. What it really came up for me, David, you also were a frontline fundraiser, and we are sort of have it beaten into us, that you never let your email go for more than an hour, right? Maybe while you're awake, like so constantly, and then, having it on your phone. So I just have this reflex to just peek at my email all day long, all day. And I know you're laughing because it's not like I actually respond to it. I'm sort of notorious.
I'm glad you said that. I wasn't
I
gonna call. I
know.
wasn't gonna call you out on
I'm calling myself out. It's
it.
not always that I respond, but that I just peek at it, right?
Right.
To make
Oh
sure
yeah.
there's no fires or no amazing opportunities or, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get an email that I won the lottery. I have to look. I have to look. So,
So it's interesting that you say that. Just with email, let's just talk about email for a minute, right? So that switching, it actually has a cost in that. You and I have never talked about this, but when you don't respond and there is some action for you to take, that is an open loop for you, and that costs you energy. In other words, you have to somehow have a system to come back to that thing, otherwise it disappears. And for most people, this is what happens. They get distracted and then it disappears with the action they had to take. Actually, they have no system for putting into existence. So it disappears. And then people like me are waiting for Margaret's response to that email from a week ago.
It certainly has happened. I can certainly be guilty. And so this is probably all related, right?
It
Honestly, is
is.
that I have this tendency to, to peek at my email regularly, frequently. And, so I was having a conversation last week with somebody who's a business coach, Katie McManus. I love her. And she works with a lot of people who are ADHD. And so she really helps people with blocking of time and helping them to diminish the temptation. And it just had never occurred to me that that habit of checking my email all the time, which I developed as a fundraiser, was really exhausting me and was making it excruciating for me to write a LinkedIn post or to, my creative writing was really suffering. And because it was just, I'm just peeking. I'm just having a little peek. So that was kind of news to me. So we worked a lot on my calendar, which has been, well, I'm just a few days in, but so far, big thumbs up to, yeah,
Good.
thinking about it.
I've done, early on and when I was coaching, when I still get started in coaching, I worked with a lot of first time managers and leaders, and this is a challenge with electronic email and texting especially, and social media. So all these forms of electronic communication that unless you somehow master it early on, you get caught up in this distraction and energy drain as you have,
Yeah.
Margaret. And I do believe the calendar, and so this is me like putting on my learn from experience consultant type hat here. I do believe the calendar is the electronic calendar is one of the best systems for blocking time, although you can always move stuff around as needed, as I've been doing this week. But even blocking time for tasks. Well, how do I deal with the 1,000 emails I have? Well, okay, morning, noon, mid-afternoon, and before you go,
Right.
block
When are you gonna?
15 to half hour, right? So 4 blocks of time, right? I gave that advice to a lot of people who took it and mastered their inbox. And then they don't look at it at any other times because there is no email these days that requires immediate attention. Just there isn't.
Right. I think that's true. And I mean, I think there's two really important things about what you said. And one is to make sure that you do have time allocated. And the second one is not to do it unless you're in that window. But
Correct. That's the discipline. That's the discipline. So that's the breaking of the habit, which you're working on now, and many others have mastered that, discipline of just once I block it, I don't look. I just can close the email tab until it's time. And no alerts, by the way. I have no pop-up alerts. I have no audible alerts. Nothing. Nothing to distract you from whatever
So
it is you're working on.
when you are in a block of time that requires your focus, the advice to me is yes, you put your phone face down. Ideally, it's on do not disturb.
Yes.
Don't just stop picking it
Yes.
up. And I know that there's a lot of science. What I'm thinking of is there's a lot of science about why it's a bad idea to text. Well, it's obviously a terrible idea to text while you're driving, but a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm
Right.
at a stoplight,
Right.
so I can text. And my recollection is that the science about that is that you shouldn't do that because it takes so long for your brain to switch back to driving.
Yeah,
So,
it's
right, the
true.
light turns green, you put your phone down, and I think it's like several seconds that you're
Yeah.
absolutely in an unmanned vehicle, when you pull off the stop sign.
Right,
So,
without the automatic the autonomous
right.
driver doing the
Yes.
driving.
You're just an unmanned vehicle or an
Yeah.
unwanted
Well,
vehicle.
you'll see this very frequently at stoplights where people have
Right.
picked up their phone and then the light turns and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and because they have lost track of the light and
Which is
they're
annoying, but what's dangerous is when they see
right.
the light and they huck their phone and they start driving and they're not, oh
Right.
my gosh, there might still be a pedestrian in the street or there's a bike to my right. Like they're not
Right.
capable of having their brain focus on the road, on the obstacles, on the dangers there. And it takes several seconds for their brain to come back to driving
Yes,
a car.
it's the science is well established on this, but we do get dopamine hits even from looking at email and certainly text messages and certainly social media posts, which are designed, those platforms are designed to be addictive. So, you want those dopamine hits. And so you're constantly looking back. And so the one invitation, and you're already doing it, but more for the audience, it would be like, there are so many other rewards for finishing a hard and satisfying task, whatever that might be. The reward from actually completing something that you set out to complete is much higher in terms of satisfaction, in my experience, than the short little hits of dopamine that we get from, being distracted. That's just been my I it's so much more satisfying when I complete by way of example, you and I both write, and many of the folks in the audience follow our stuff on LinkedIn. We write long form articles, both of us, which it a lot of what you see on LinkedIn, it's like it's scroll cringy. It's like, oh my God, what are you saying? Like, this is just ridiculous, right? Like, so some substance between behind what we write and what we talk about here on the show. Well, to create a show like this, or to create an article like you create, Margaret, or like I create, takes time, effort, and focus. And when you do that, at least I can speak from my own experience. I want to hear from you. When I do that, it takes time, and then I have to draft it, and then I have to let it sit. I literally have to let it
Back to it.
simmer. Then I have to come. Then I allow myself to go do something else because I want to get away from it and come back to it with a fresh perspective. So there, the intentional distracting is important part of the creative process to actually put it down. Leave it for a day, typically, or what I do, and then come back to it, and it's like fresh eyes, and like now the editor's eyes are on it, which is I just completed before we got on the call today. Yeah.
And
Anyway,
I
what's your
try.
experience though of the satisfaction of completing a task that way versus the,
It is. I mean,
curious.
I have been pretty good about, blocking time for things. Social media creation happens in this block, but what I have changed this week is, first of all, to recognize like when during the day my brain is most happy to do the, I think we're both really morning people, and so everything in my life that wants to be done well needs to happen in the morning. And what's not on that list is email. But normally that's my first hour of my day is, doing that, where I was like, wow, what would happen if I do that at a different time during the day? And I actually use my productive time to, I don't know, be productive. Right?
Yeah, and that could be different for anyone. So, I do think the price that we pay for being distracted is a diminishment of not only energy, well, I'll call it this way, a diminishment of creative energy.
Yeah, and it takes away. I mean, we're talking about doing tasks, but the same concept certainly applies to being present with other human beings.
Certainly.
And
Certainly.
it's,
So,
yeah, I mean, we've all had meals with people who can't seem to leave their phones alone, and and I know it's not personal, but it's hard to feel appreciated or loved or valued for my time at the end of a meal when, when somebody has been, oh, sorry, let me just, sorry, that kind of thing. And I often will, I will say something. I'm sure I have been that person from time to time. I hope not very often, but, but we just think about the gift that our actual presence is, and all of these distractions, erode that gift.
It is a it is a serious break in relationship when you're with someone in person sharing a meal or having a conversation, and unless you've gotten permission ahead of time and said, I am expecting
My doctor's
a,
gonna call or whatever.
or my daughter is in a tight spot, and so with your permission I am just gonna keep this and that, and if she calls or if she text me, I'd like to step away. So then you've asked for permission, and then the relationship is whole and complete. When you are sit down for lunch and you're breaking the conversation, you're literally breaking the relationship. It's incomplete. You're creating incompletions in the relationship by that behavior. Even though you th may think like, oh, well, I got to keep this person and I got to keep this person. I got to, well, no, be with the one you're with.
Love the one you're with, right? No.
Exactly.
David,
Love the one you're with.
you're rubbing off on me. I literally just broke into song. I can't believe
I know we got to do that more and more here on the show. Yeah,
Yeah. I know
it's
this comes
true.
up a lot when we're coaching leaders and executives, right? How to be responsive or have an open door, right? They want to feel accessible, but at the same time, they can't get anything done. What do you tell what do when you work with people?
So I shared with leaders I coach, and this is a practice that I adopted leading a team of 10, at Princeton University fundraising team. When my door is open, please come in. Do not send me a text message and do not email me because I will not respond to you. Now, if my door is closed, feel free to send me an email message or a text that you'd like to speak with me after my phone call or after I'm working on a report for the Board of Trustees or whatever, right? Where I need to really focus. So folks became very aware. When that door is closed, do not disturb.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you're knocking on the door because the building's on fire, then yes, please let me know.
And yeah, also, please, yeah.
And the alarms aren't working, so then come on in, barge in. But otherwise, no, please don't. There's nothing that urgent that in the work that we were doing that required that. I welcomed, and the other flip side of that thing is that when the door is open, that you then allow yourself to be distracted for the sake of relationship with the people with whom you work, because that's more important. You're demonstrating with your door open that come on in.
Right, let's
So, and you
solve
have
the
to be
problem.
willing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it's close, but I when I speak with people, when I'm coaching people, we talk about setting aside project time, planning time, and sometimes that means that you find someplace else to work. If you don't work someplace where you can turn off the distractions, then go find a quiet workspace someplace else, whether that's home or something. It's interesting. We talk about working in coffee shops. There are a lot of people who work in coffee shops, but apparently tuning out background noise or loud background noise is another thing that requires an enormous amount of calories for your brain to do. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, that again may vary for between how sensitive you are. So for me, and I also know for you, like when you and I are moving through airports, we like to block out a lot of that outside noise, because the onslaught of the sensory information is overwhelming and can be exhausting. So you're making a trade-off there, I think, between literally wearing these are noise canceling headphones that I always wear on the show here, because I want to focus on you, Margaret, and the conversation that we're having and not be distracted. So I'm willing to pay whatever price it I'm paying for blocking out surrounding noise for the sake of very intentionally being able to have a thoughtful conversation with my co-leader here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm more susceptible to emotional noise in the background than actual noise. I have a pretty good capacity to, like, it's like I have little shutters in my ears that I can close, and I seem very good. I don't know. So it's one of the weird parts of my brain. I actually can tune out noise and other conversations pretty well, but I
I do
can't
think
tune
some,
out emotions at all. Just right on in. Yeah.
I can't tune any, so that you're that's a blessing, and many
It's a
people have
blessing.
that blessing. It
Yeah.
is. I'm not one of them. So
Kevin
I am
would
not
differ,
only,
though. It's not his favorite
pardon?
quality about me. Kevin would differ. I'm not.
Oh.
It's a blessing. I'm sorry. Are you speaking?
Oh, right. Well, he's on the other end of the spectrum, literally. He's one of the guys you want to be a sentinel or a sentry, right? Because he has
He
the ability
sees
to sc
everything.
yeah, he has the ability to see everything and take it all in and notice. And I think that's a gift. So we all have our gifts, and I will say that there is a reason that cell phones, in particular, and the apps that re reside on them are purposely designed to distract you. I call these things attention deficit devices. And the
You're
science is
right.
becoming very, very well established on this now, that these are attention deficit devices. The apps that are on these wonderful devices are there to get your attention. So just realize that, and if you're willing, if it's a choice, you like make a conscious choice. I'm willing to be distracted by this app. So, Margaret, you and I have a very, very powerful 7-week positive intelligence coaching program, which is a mindfulness-based program. Now, the irony is that as part of that program, which is mindfulness-based, clients have to let themselves be
Be
distracted three
distracted.
times a day by the app by design.
Right. And they're choosing, yeah, but it's they get distracted by the app, which then tells them to focus.
Exactly. So you get distracted by the app, which actually interrupts your day. so that you can then focus on your mental fitness, like
And getting
doing,
yourself grounded, yeah, to
getting
come back into
grounded,
for a few
come
minutes.
back into the body. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So
It
I
is
never
ironic,
realized the irony of I never
though.
realized the irony of that till just now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's so interesting that many clients really struggle with that because they are so distracted, and it's like one more thing to distract them, and it can be very, because we're just, it's like there's an old Zen saying, a young monk comes to a more senior monk and to sit down, and the older monk is preparing tea, and the younger monk is just yapping away at him about how busy his mind is and that he wants enlightenment. And then so the older monk starts pouring the tea in his cup, and he keeps pouring and he keeps pouring and he keeps pouring until it's overflowing all over the table. And the young monk finally notices and said, "What are you doing? The tea's pouring out everywhere." And he says, "That's like your mind.
Stop
It's too
pouring. Yeah.
full. It's too full,
Yeah.
right?" Yeah. So when we're filled up with particles, this is what you and I call particles.
The particles, yeah.
Yeah, when we're filled up with the particles of life, there's no space. So there's no space for us
Yeah.
to have meaningful conversations with people, loved ones, prayer time, which I wrote about this week,
Yeah.
meditation time, friendship. Yeah, there's just, you're full up, like
Yeah.
that cup of tea overflowing.
Yeah. So what's maybe one thing for each of us that's been a best practice that we want to suggest to our listeners?
Well, I find using my calendar to block time has been the most effective tool in the modern electronic calendar for, I wouldn't say managing time, prioritizing
Yeah.
time.
Yeah. Okay, so
Right.
I'm gonna yes and. So you're suggesting the blocking of time, and I'm gonna say, and then when that time comes, do not spend the first 5 minutes peeking at your email. Like actually just sit down with your fresh mind, do the task, put your phone away, close your email tabs or put them to the back somewhere and actually see what's possible if you really dedicate your hour, your 90 minutes, whatever you've set aside in your calendar to focus on a task and just, see what happens. See
The
what
other
happens.
thing I'll add to this challenge, I'm going to make it a challenge now. So in coaching, what I'm about to say is going to be so challenging that most of you will in the audience will not do
You're like, no
it,
way.
including maybe Margaret. Turn off all notifications on your computer and your phone. Turn them off. Period. You won't die. Now, Margaret, are you willing to accept my challenge? Yes, no, or counter offer?
Counter offer. I've got a
Okay.
counter offer that I'm happy to, or I'm willing to, keep my phone on do not disturb during the periods of time when I have committed to focusing on something else and keeping it face down.
Great counter. Beautiful. Well, maybe we'll report back, and maybe on on the
Let's see what
next
happens.
show. We'd like to hear from you all if you take on this challenge, either as I've issued the challenge or as Margaret has counteroffered. This is going to be out on the four major podcast platforms. We're going to be posting it on LinkedIn. Share your experience. Take it on. See what
Yeah.
happens. Let us
And
know.
let it know. Yeah. Great.
All
Thanks, everybody. We'll see
right.
you next time.
See you next time.